Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Judges, and this is chapter 15, and there are 20 verses in chapter 15. And let's all go up to the throne of the living God to ask him to anoint his words, the words of life, his words that are spirit and life. And, Father, we ask that you anoint your words, which are spirit and life, because we know that if we preach them by the letter, that it will kill. But if the spirit is in it, then we know that it will bring forth life. We ask also, Lord, that you will open up our hearts, our minds, and let our minds be united with our heart, with our spirit, to keep our minds stayed upon you. Give us a special insight into this anointing commentary and the translation. In Jesus' name we pray that it'll be giving strength to the hearer. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Judges chapter 15. Samson has some vengeance on the Philistines. King James Version, verse 1. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go into my wife, into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in.
Okay, let's read the translation on that.
Samson has some vengeance on the Philistines. Later on during the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat as a present to his wife.
Yeah, what do you think your wife would do these days, American women, if you'd bring her a goat for a present? I don't think she'd let you in the house. Okay, but go ahead.
He intended to sleep with her, but her father wouldn't let him in.
All right, okay. Verse 2.
King James Version. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. Verse 3. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. Verse 4. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. Verse 5. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines, and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn, with the vineyards and olives. Translation, verse 2 through 5. Quote, I really thought you hated her, her father explained, so I gave her in marriage to your best man. But look, her sister is more beautiful than she is. Marry her instead, unquote. Verse 3. Samson said, quote, This time I cannot be blamed for everything I'm going to do to you, Philistines. Unquote. Verse 4. Then he went out and caught 300 foxes. He tied their tails together in pairs, and he fastened a torch to each pair of tails. Verse 5. Then he lit the torches and let the foxes run through the fields of the Philistines. He burned all their grain to the ground, including the grain still in piles, and all that had been bundled. He also destroyed their grapevines and olive trees.
It left, rendered them without food. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 6. Then the Philistines said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Verse 7. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. Verse 8. and he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. Verse 9. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah, and spread themselves in Lehi. Verse 10. And the men of Judah said, Why are you come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Translation, verse 6 through 10. Quote, Who did this? The Philistines demanded to him. Samson was the reply, because his father-in-law from Timnah gave Samson's wife to be married to his best man. So the Philistines went and got the woman and her father and burned them to death. Verse 7, quote, Because you did this, Samson vowed, I will take my vengeance on you, and I won't stop until I'm satisfied! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 8, So he attacked the Philistines with great fury and killed many of them. Then he went to live in a cave in the rock of Etam. Verse 9. The Philistines retaliated by setting up camp in Judea and raiding the town of Lehi. Verse 10. The men of Judah asked the Philistines, quote, Why have you attacked us? Unquote. The Philistines replied, quote, We've come to capture Samson. We have come to pay him back for what he did to us, unquote. King James Version, verse 11. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. Verse 12. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistine. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. Verse 13. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. Verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. Verse 15. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. Translation, verse 11 through 15. So 3,000 men of Judah went down to get Samson at the cave in the rock of Etam. They said to Samson, quote, Don't you realize the Philistines rule over us? What are you doing to us? Unquote. But Samson replied, quote, I only paid them back for what they did to me. Unquote. Verse 12. But the men of Judah told him, quote, We have come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines, unquote. Quote, All right, Samson said, but promise that you won't kill me yourselves, unquote. Verse 13, quote, We will tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines, they replied. We won't kill you, unquote. So they tied him up with two new ropes and led him away from the rock. Verse 14, as Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistines came shouting in triumph. But the Spirit of the Lord powerfully took control of Samson, and he snapped the ropes on his arms as if they were burnt strands of flax, and they fell from his wrists. Verse 15. Then he picked up a donkey's jawbone that was lying on the ground and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. King James Version, verse 16. And Samson said, With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, With the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Verse 17. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramath-Lehi. Verse 18. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? Verse 19. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Ein HaKore, which is in Lehi unto this day. Verse 20. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Translation, verse 16 through 20. And Samson said, quote, with the jawbone of a donkey I've made heaps on heaps, exclamation mark. With the jawbone of a donkey I've killed 1,000 men, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 17. When he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was named Jawbone Hill. Verse 18. Now Samson was very thirsty, and he cried out to the Lord, quote, you have accomplished this great victory by the strength of your servant. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of these pagan people? Unquote. Verse 19. So God caused water to gush out of a hollow in the ground at Lehi, and Samson was revived as he drank. Then he named that place, quote, the spring of the one who cried out, unquote, and it is still in Lehi to this day. Verse 20. Samson was Israel's judge for 20 years while the Philistines ruled the land.
All right, that was Judges 15th chapter, was the 20 verses. And now we've got some commentary.
15 verse 1. The time of the wheat harvest took place in May. Quote, young goat, unquote. The young goat Samson brought was the same type of gift that a husband brings when he visits his wife in a modern Arab Sadiqa marriage. 15 verse 2, quote, hated her. The word hate was a technical term used in the context of divorce. Deuteronomy 24 verse 3. When Samson returned to his father's house, his father-in-law assumed that he had divorced his daughter. Chapter 14, verse 19 through 20. 15, verse 4. Foxes. This term in Hebrew can also mean jackals. Jackals were more prevalent in Israel. They ran in packs and could be caught more easily than foxes. 15, verse 8. Hip and thigh. The meaning of this expression is not exactly certain. It may have been a military expression or a wrestler's term used as a metaphor for a victorious attack. Quote, rock of Etam, unquote. Etam means place of birds or prey. The location of this place could be almost any place. It is uncertain where it means here. 15 verse 9, Lehi. This place, meaning jawbone, was probably located in the region of Beth Shemesh. 15 verse 14. The Spirit of the Lord gave Samson supernatural strength so that he could be saved from the hand of the Philistine. 15 verse 15. A fresh jawbone would be strong, not dry and brittle. Samson violates his Nazarite vow again by touching part of a dead animal. 15 verse 19. Quote, HaKor, unquote, means, quote, spring of the collar, or the one that prays, unquote. It was a spring at Lehi, jawbone. 15 verse 20, quote, judged Israel, unquote. Samson's judgeship consisted of single-handed victories over the Philistines, which disrupted their domination over Israel. He did not liberate Israel from the Philistines. Samson's reply in chapter 15, verse 11, tells the story of this chapter. Quote, as they did to me, so have I done to them. Unquote. Revenge is an uncontrollable monster. Each act of retaliation brings another. It is an actual boomerang that cannot be thrown without cost to the thrower. The revenge cycle can be halted only by forgiveness. Samson ventures to marry a Philistine girl from Timnath. Tricked at his own wedding feast, he went to Ashkelon and killed some Philistine men and stole their clothes to pay off a debt. Samson then let himself be captured and brought to Lehi, where he snapped his ropes and killed 1,000 Philistines. 15:18. Samson was physically and emotionally exhausted. After a great personal victory, his attitude declined quickly into self-pity, quote, "Shall I die of thirst?" unquote. Emotionally, we are most vulnerable after a great effort or when faced with real physical needs. Severe depression often follows great achievement, so don't be surprised if you feel drained after a personal victory. During these times of vulnerability, avoid the temptation to think that God owes you for your efforts. It was His strength that gave you the victory in the first place. Concentrate on keeping your attitudes, actions, and words focused on God instead of yourself. 15:20. Apparently, Samson was appointed Israel's judge after this victory over the Philistines. Delilah. A person's greatest accomplishment may well be helping others accomplish great things. Likewise, a person's greatest failure may be preventing others from achieving greatness. Delilah played a minor role in Samson's life, but her effect was devastating, and she influenced him to betray his special calling from God. Motivated by greed, Delilah used her persistence to wear down Samson. His infatuation with her made Samson a vulnerable target. For all his physical strength, he was no match for her, and he paid a great price for giving in to her. Delilah is never mentioned again in the Bible. Her unfaithfulness to Samson brought him to ruin. It brought ruin to him and to her people. Are people helped by knowing you? Do they find that knowing you challenges them to be the best they can be? Even more important, does knowing you help their relationship with God? What do your demands for their time and attention tell them about your real care for them?
Yeah, real care for people. The Lord, I pass on the things from that the Lord has given me unto you. And I'm sure other people do the same thing. But some of the things the Lord, I wanted to mention a couple of things that the Lord has passed on to me. For you is that we definitely he showed me how we our will, if it's directed in the right direction, we can be just about anything that we want to be. We can live 40 years longer than we ordinarily could and in good health by exercising. Now, I hear, you know, there's all kinds of people saying this, but the Lord told me that I had to go on a fast for half of the living day, every day that I live. So I eat half the time, and that's so 12 hours of every day I don't eat. And I've been doing that for years now, and a lot of times I won't even eat the 12 hours. And then I found out that it saves on the wear and tear of my body because every time you eat something, all your internal organs start going to work. Your heart starts pumping more blood and your stomach starts working, and it really wears on you. And then lately he's told me to do, a few years ago told me don't eat any dairy anymore. And don't eat any beef. And so that's another one. And I didn't do it for a while, and therefore I caught diabetes. I didn't pay any attention to what I was eating. I was just eating anything. But if people pay attention to the way they live, you can control the amount of years that you live, and you can live an extra 40 years according to the Lord. He told me, if you eat right, you'll live another 20 years. And he said, if you exercise along with it, you'll live another 20 on top of that. And more than I ordinarily would have lived. So I might have lived till 75 years old, And so you tack another 40 years onto that. I might have lived till 80. So you get another 40 years onto that. That's 120 years old. But as I am right now, the Lord told me when I was in prison for the gospel's sake that if I... He stated that because of the way that I took care of myself during when I was younger, that I am actually 35 years old, in my mid-30s. And here I was around, I think, 60 back then, wasn't I? Somewhere in that area. So around 60 years old. And so this has been like 10 years since I've been out for 7 years now, I think, wasn't it? Something like that. And so right now I'm actually 70 years old. In 8 years, I'm 70 years old, but I would be probably around 40 to 42, something like that. But I abused, I took the wrong amount of food, and I ate a lot of things that we weren't able to eat in prison. I began eating because I was starved for that sort of stuff, and I gained a lot of weight, and now I started listening to what the Lord was telling me. But I didn't for a while, and I caught diabetes, and now it's under control. If it's your will to do what the Lord says, you can control your fate. You can control the things that you do. It just goes to show that you can either serve the Lord or you can not serve the Lord. You can control your weight, or you can just not control your weight. You can control your health, or you can not control your health. So these are things that, you know, if you want to help people, you tell them the things that the Lord told you. And there's no way that I would give up sweets, and everybody knows that, or that I would give up dairy. I loved ice cream. I can't have butter, anything, cheese, ice cream, anything that people just love. And you find out that people are dying like flies because they eat that stuff from early years, and beef. They eat all kinds of hamburgers and cheeseburgers and milkshakes right along with it, which is dairy and beef. And they're dying, and they're catching leukemia. And I don't know why the Lord didn't want me to eat dairy, but you find out that there's so many additives that they put in there. And, you know, you say, well, what about the land of milk and honey? Well, the land of milk and honey just means, that term just means the land of plenty, everything, fruit and vegetables and all kinds of things, because all they were eating back in those days was the manna that came down from heaven, and that's all they had to eat, except once in a while they'd have other things, like they'd probably kill animals, and they had some quail, birds and things like that. And they may have stayed in a place for a while and grew a few vegetables, but this was the land that had trees that had all kinds of fruit on them, and they didn't plant them. They had water wells that they didn't dig, and all kinds of things. But so if you can control the amount of years that you live, and God says an extra 40 years, and not only that, the quality of life that you have is so much better. You feel better. There's no aches or pains if you do what the Lord says. And you're resting your body half the day of from consuming food. And the Lord also let me know that the amount of food that you eat, the quality of food has to be there, and the amount of food. And it's amazing how little that you can eat and get by with. There's like 4 ounces of chicken for lunch and a nice big salad, and the just oil and vinegar, olive oil and vinegar, a little bit of seasoning like oregano and garlic salt or something like that, a little bit of salt. And then for evening, a piece of fish. And I don't eat any butter, that's dairy. And I just have, in the morning, scrambled egg whites. And a little salad I have with that, or some tomatoes, and a little bit of maybe salsa on it. And some people just can't. They say, well, I'd just rather die than have to restrict myself to that kind of a diet. And you may well die for sure if you don't, pay a lot of attention to controlling the things that go into your body and the amount of things and the quality of things that go into your body. And, you can control that, and you say, well, I'd rather die. Yeah, but a lot of people suffer for 20 and 30 years with the most horrible aches and pains, and their heart starts checking out on them and their lungs, and they start getting real bad chest pains. And the quality of life is terrible, so you have to think about that. And then for you to go to the doctor and for them to tell you that you've got cancer, and then you have to suffer with that horrible pain and the knowledge of it and knowing that you're going to die, or leukemia, or some other evil thing. You can also control not going out into the world and having sexual experiences with unsaved people, because you're going to eventually catch AIDS. They say that one out of every four people in the United States, and in the world right now, it's even a higher rate than that, one out of three, one out of two, in the different districts in the Orient and also in Africa and in the Philippines, people have got AIDS. And they know they're going to die, and it's going to be a horrible, painful death. And so it's better to keep the commandments of the Lord. And you can, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ into you by the Spirit of the Father and Christ, via the Holy Spirit into your body. And then you can have the power to be able to control what you do, and you can control the things that you eat. I mean, just because the whole world is believing these commercials from McDonald's and Wendy's and all these other places, I mean, if you went in there once in a great while and had maybe a fish sandwich or a chicken sandwich or something like that, that'd be all right with a little salad. I noticed now that Wendy's is offering a salad that you could have in place of the French fries. And they say you could have a baked potato. Well, a baked potato, those potatoes turn into sugar, more sugar, actually, they say, than most candy bars. And so you can catch diabetes, and all the butter that you put on there, or sour cream, the dairy. So I just thought I'd drop that in on you to let you know, keep you up to snuff, up to speed as to what the Lord is telling me and how I feel so much better now. And I've lost a lot of weight. I was up to around 250, and I'm down to about 200 right now. And I intend to get down to about 165 or 170, 175. And just do it in a gradual way by eating small amounts and quality food. And making it be my will to live a good, healthy, painless life as long as possible, and to be used by the Lord while I'm living that life. All right? So there's some, don't eat a lot of starch. And why don't you eat a lot of starch, the carbohydrates? Why, Sharon?
It raises your blood sugar level up. And if you're doing eating too much and taking in too much, you're going to eventually wear out your pancreas, and then you end up with diabetes.
Yeah, and then if you get that all under control, you can control diabetes and so on. And I've never had to take insulin with it, so it's not the most severe diabetes and or blood pressure or anything like that. We just did a blood pressure on me, and it's just absolutely normal right now. Okay, so you can control that. You can control your health, and you can control the things you do. You can control. The Lord wants us to be controlled, to make it our will to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, I beat my body black and blue. In other words, he just says, I do everything that the Lord says to keep my body under the control of the Holy Spirit. And he said that he does that and continues preaching the gospel, lest he be a castaway, that he goes to hell just like all the other people that are going to hell, even after he has preached the gospel for all the years that he did. and serve the Lord all the years that he did. So, you say, well, are you a nutritional expert? No, I studied nutrition, and I knew a lot of the things to do, but there's more knowledge today. I've been studying nutrition ever since I was 20 years old. And thank God I took a lot of that stuff, or I wouldn't be in the shape that I am today. I can actually leg press over 1,000 pounds and do reps with it. And I can actually, then the Lord told me that I'm like 35, probably 40 years old now after I've been out of the prison for the gospel. So, and here I am on earth 70 years plus the 9 months in my mother's womb. All right? So it's actually 70 years and 3 months is actually almost 71 years altogether if you count when I was in my mother's womb. My birthday is September, and here it is January. So it's almost 70 years and one-third, 70 and a third years old. But the Lord says I'm in my 40s, and I look like I'm in my 40s, too. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and I'll probably outlift almost every 40-year-old person and 20-year-old person, many of them, most of them in the world. And so I'm in good shape, and I intend to get in better shape now because of the things that the Lord had told me. You try it, and you'll see that you'll be in a lot better shape than you are now. You'll feel wonderful. All right, so let's continue on with the commentary here of chapter 15 of Judges. All right.
Are you willing to be God's instrument in the lives of others? Delilah's strength and accomplishment. One, she was persistent when faced with obstacles, weaknesses and mistakes or sin. One valued money more than the relationships with others.
Yeah, that was Delilah's problem. She'd rather have money than to have good relationships with people that will eventually minister back to you. You know, if you minister to a tree even, if you don't minister good health of nutritional products to a tree, the tree won't bear fruit and give it to you. But if you do, there's like a cycle. You give unto the tree, and the tree will give abundant fruit to you. You sow good fertilizer and nutrients and nitrogen and pesticides and everything to soil, or if you can use organic farming, that's even better, then you'll be able to have crops if you sow and if you water. But if you don't minister to the land, you won't receive anything. Now, everybody knows that if you feed a cow good food and chickens, that they'll give eggs, milk and eggs for you, in which I'm off dairy now anyway. But if you don't, they won't give you anything. I tried that one time. I had a herd of cows, and it was the grain. They're eating so much grain for the milk cows. And when I stopped doing it and started to feed them scraps from the church, because we had like hundreds of people in this one church where we had the hog farm, there would be no milk. I says, hurry up and give them the grain again, you know, and you give them the grain, and here comes the milk. Here comes the milk. Okay, and the same thing with chickens. I had like thousands of chickens, laying hens, and I decided to give them scraps, and not one egg came out of them, out of the thousands. I said, get them back on the grain immediately. And here, the minute I did, they started laying one egg, and some of them would even lay two eggs a day, believe it or not. And we'd play music for them at night and keep the lights on. That's they say that the cows are more content if they hear nice, soft music. The same thing with chickens. You know, there's all kinds of things about farming and stuff that you learn. And if you know that the land produces more if you treat it right, and animals produce more if they're treated right, and trees and everything else, then you've got to know that it's going to help you if you feed your body the right way and don't feed it too much. If you feed too much of something to the land, you won't grow anything. There's a guy that he was sort of a retarded person, and he was planting a bunch of pumpkins. And the pumpkins were coming up, and it was great, and he came in and told Susie when she was a little girl, says, the punks have got bugs on them. And she said, well, you have to spray him. So he went out there and dumped just tons of spray on him like that. Then he came in crying and said, the punks all died. Mm. You can't put too much of anything, or you can't eat too much or you'll die. You can't take too many vitamins and minerals or you'll die. You've got to just have an even balance. And there's nutritional, there's nutrition now that tells you all the different things, the good things, and the balance. You know, it depends on each person. Each one is a little bit different. And there's all kinds of what they call nutritional experts, but some of them are way off. You know, they're just really way out. I just go by what the Lord tells me. And what I found out in 50 years works best for me, my body. And I put a lot of people in this church. I've given them advice on it for years and years. And they all seem to be in pretty good health. Amen?
Amen.
And they all have been on health foods for, gosh, the ones that have been here for 30-some years have been on health foods for 30-some years. And we eat the regular food also. But I, you know, give them advice in regard to the things that the Lord has told me. And a lot of them stick right with it. All right? And they're really great. There's old Sanford White. He's been with us for almost 35 years, or maybe 35 years. And he was bent over like an old man. He couldn't even walk. And I took him into the health studio and gave him nutrients and everything. And he's strong now. And he's a truck driver, and he's like got a very strong back. His back, the chiropractor told him, don't ever work out. And I said, well, that chiropractor is not telling you the truth. You come in here and you have to work out in order to build those muscles in your back to where they're strong enough to support you. And so he saw, he was kind of skeptical, but I went in there and got him on the Roman chair and started doing those. Now he's got a real strong back, and he walks around and he runs and he does the treadmill. He's as strong as, stronger than he's ever been in his life, I believe. That's what he tells me. So, you know, listen to good advice. And our job here on earth, if we're Christians, to not only help people by preaching the gospel to them, but to feed and clothe and house them, and to minister the things that the Lord has showed us in regards to good health and happy health and happiness and joy, and strengthen your bodies and your soul, your spirit, and, you know, to do everything in moderation, as the Lord says. Amen? Don't put too much of anything on the punks, okay, because the punks will all die, okay? And, you know, you will too. Okay, so no, not too little, not too much. But the Lord says, cut down, eat fast half the day. I said, that's not going to kill you. It's going to do you real good. You'll feel a lot better. Your body's resting half the time. Your internal organs are resting half the time. Your tongue and digestive system, if you take that out, they've done autopsies, and it looks just like a coiled reptile. Your tongue is like the head. And that is like a satanic thing. The Bible says that our tongue is set on the fires of hell. Amen?
Amen.
And so no man can tame the tongue, that we have to be anointed with the Holy Spirit in order to keep. And the Bible says the blessed is the person that doesn't eat because of what the tongue, the head of that reptile in your body, that coiled snake that's in your body, and your tongue is the head of it. Don't do what it wants, but the blessed is the man that eats for strength and health. Amen?
Amen?
Not for taste, because that tongue will lead you right into death. And also that you have to watch the things that you say, because your tongue can bring forth life if you're using it in the Spirit of the Lord, and it can bring forth death if you don't. So be careful. Put that tongue under control. And anyone that control the tongue, the Bible says, can control the whole body. That tongue is a little member, and it is just like a bridle in the mouth of a horse. A horse is a big animal, and you can, a little man or a woman can sit on there and steer that big old horse wherever they want to. And there's a little rudder on the ship. Like on the Queen Elizabeth, I took the QE2, Queen Elizabeth II, over to Southampton, England, And there's a little rudder. That thing is big. It's got a crew of 5,000 people, and it holds about another 5,000 passengers. And it's like a floating city. And it's led about by a little rudder, a little member. And the Apostle James likens that member, likens your tongue is on that, because your tongue will, if you've got it under control, can guide you to win souls and to help people instead of using it for treachery and to destroy people. Okay, now then, let's go on with chapter 15, Judges. Hopefully this has helped you, and let your conscience be your guide. Let the Word of God be your guide, amen, and not your treacherous tongue and your wicked self-spirit. Put your spirit, make your spirit, compel your spirit, control your spirit to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead.
2. Delilah betrayed the man who trusted her. Lessons from her life. 1. We need to be careful to place our trust only in people who are trustworthy. Better yet, we need to be careful to place our trust in God and those who place their trust in God. Vital statistics of Delilah. 1. Where she was from, the Valley of Sorek. 2. Contemporary, Samson. Key verses, quote, it came about when she presented him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death, so he told her all that was in his heart, unquote. Judges chapter 16, verse 16 through 17. Her story is told in Judges 16.
Yeah, there ain't nothing that the bopper says like a big-eyed gal to make you act so funny, to make you spend your money, to sell your soul like a jackass, amen, to make you feel real loose like a long-necked goose. That was Delilah, and that was Samson, amen?
Amen.
There's a song, don't let those trifling women those trifling women can't get a good man down. Amen?
Amen?
Control yourself to be controlled by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. This is Tony Alamo. This is the 15th chapter of Judges. And hopefully you've learned something today that will cause you to have a better life, hopefully a better spiritual life, that you'll begin being used by the Holy Spirit to bring about life, eternal and life more abundantly for many others in this world. And in order for you to be able to do that, you have to be in good health, and God will prosper you health wise and your quality of life will be improved tremendously, and you will begin losing weight or whatever you need. Your blood will start flowing right. Everything will be a lot better for you, hundreds of times better. And so until chapter 16, keep your mind upon the Lord. Meditate on him day and night. That means remember these things and pray always. And until chapter 16, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor, saying God bless you and praise the Lord.